IMRO's 2023 Best Local or Regional News Programme. The Voice of the Northwest, the 9 till noon show with Greg Hughes.
Okay, you're very welcome back to the programme. Good morning if you're just after joining us. I think you missed an interesting first hour. Coming up shortly, we'll have the latest edition of Community Garda Information. Garda Sergeant Eunan Walsh will be joining us shortly with the latest appeals and information from One Garda Síochána Síochána. I've just been asked to tell you that there's been an oil spillage on the road outside Milford College between there and Bunlen Bridge. So just be careful if you're travelling that in that areas. There are lots of fraudulent claims being made and it's increasing insurance costs. Why is more not being done to stamp out this behaviour, says a listener. If you have a collision now, it's a given that the other person automatically claims whether they are injured or not. On other issues we've been talking about today, asylum seekers have been coming in through Northern Ireland for years. This isn't the first time. They will not be deported back to Britain, and it seems the system is so convoluted one might tend to agree. A caller says the government is just about 18 months too late in looking at immigration and international protection applications or applicants from the UK. Some of the first provided houses in rural parts of Donegal had come from the UK, left homes and schools in England to come here. I did wonder when I heard it over 15 months ago why they would need international protection coming from the safe UK. Once again, our government didn't act in time. Indeed, and I remember, and it was quite controversial at the time, there were families that had just travelled down from Belfast and were met by protesters, and they said they were just coming to seek refuge. In relation to Frank, who you had on the programme yesterday, he couldn't even get a medical card, yet when people enter this country, they're automatically given one. This caller believes that is unfair. And on it goes. We will continue to read out your comments, of course, as the morning wears on. Keep them coming in to us, but we're going to take a short break and then we're back, as I say, with Community Garda Information.
The Community Garda Information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero-wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 91-26025.
It's 10:15 on this Tuesday, the 30th of April, 2024, and it is time for Community Garda Information. And we're joined in studio by Garda Sergeant Eunan Walsh from the Letterkenny Garda Station. Good morning, Eunan. Thank
morning,
you very much
Greg.
Indeed.
How are you?
I am great, and thanks so much for calling up. Okay, no we'll problem. Get straight into appeals, and it's the renewal of an appeal in relation to a missing child.
Yes, Greg. This Gardaí and Macrana are renewing their appeal for assistance in locating a 15-year-old boy, Stephen Boyle, missing from Mahara Beg since 2 weeks ago tomorrow, the 17th of April 24. Concerns are growing for Stephen's welfare, and he is described as being 5'7" tall, medium build, brown hair and blue eyes. When last seen, he was wearing a grey tracksuit and red body warmer. A picture of Stephen is on the Garda Síochána Facebook page, and you'll be sharing that later on,
of course,
thankfully.
Yeah.
And again, anybody who may have information into Stephen's whereabouts, or maybe if Stephen is listening, or if you could contact the Garda Síochána Síochána, 074-93-20540. Again, the confidential line, 1-800-666-111, or any Garda station.
And that's a shout out to listeners right across Donegal and into Derry
as well. We believe he may have travelled out of the jurisdiction, Greg, into County Derry. So we're asking your listeners to have a look at his picture on our Facebook page and keep a lookout for him, please.
All right. And just to remind you, this is a 15-year-old boy, and there is growing concerns for his welfare. Now, an appeal as it relates to a fatal road traffic collision in Falkara.
Yes, this is a fatal road traffic collision which occurred this day week last Tuesday, Greg, the 23rd of April at approximately 1:30 p.m. on the N56 Ballinar Road in Falkara. The female driver and sole occupant of the car, Keena Barrett, a female in her 80s, was taken to hospital, and unfortunately she was pronounced dead later in the hospital. Garda are appealing for any witnesses to the collision to come forward. Again, any road user who may have had camera footage, including dash cam, in the area at the time, travelling along the road between 1:15 p.m. and 1:45 p.m. to make the footage available to Garda at Milford, 074-91-53060. Again, the confidential line, 1-800-666-111. And again, our thoughts and prayers are with the family and friends and the local community in the area.
Indeed, we'll join you in that, of course. Investigations continue into a road traffic collision in Manor Cunningham.
Yes, this is an accident occurred Sunday past the 28th, shortly after 7 p.m. It occurred on the Galdena Road in Manor Cunningham, the L1214. The car was a single vehicle collision, and travelling, the car was travelling from Rafo towards Newton Cunningham when the collision occurred. The driver and three passengers were taken to hospital by ambulance to receive treatment for their injuries sustained. Some of the injuries are serious, but fortunately not life-threatening. Again, we appeal to anybody who may have witnessed the collision or anybody who was in the area at the time, travelling in the air with Dashcom, to make it available to Gardaí at Letterkenny, 07491671100.
Now, your colleagues in a show investigating a burglary in Buncrana.
Yes, this is a burglary which occurred in the business premises of the Market Square area of Buncrana, Greg, last Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, the 24th of April. A very, very narrow time frame between 1:30 p.m. and 1:40 a.m. So due to the time frame, we're confident that people may have seen something and we may be able to bring this to a successful conclusion. The door of the premises was forced open and entry was gained. Two phones were stolen during the course of the burglary, an iPhone 15 and a black iPhone X. And again, if you've been offered a sale of a phone matching these descriptions, to let us know at Buncrana Garda Station.
I think the iPhone 15's green, which is stands out a little bit. It's somewhat unusual. I don't have an iPhone, but I believe it...
Yeah, I'm not sure of the colour. Yeah. It's a couple of specs ahead of what I have, but okay. If you're saying it's green, I'll take your word for it. Again, anybody... we are interested in three youths who were seen in the Market Square area at the time. So anybody who was in the Market Square or McGinn Avenue area, to contact the Gardaí at Buncrana again, 07493 205 40, or again the confidential line 1-800-666-111.
All right, as Eunan said, in the early hours of Wednesday morning, that's Tuesday night, 1:30 to 1:40 on the Market Square in Buncrana. Right, now, theft of a trailer being investigated, Eunan.
Yes, this is a Brian James trailer car transporter stolen from the Cornfield Lane area of Newton Cunningham, Greg, last Wednesday, the 24th of April, during the day, between 1:50 p.m. and 2 p.m. Again, a very narrow time frame. And so we're appealing to anybody who was in the area between 1:30 and 2:30 with dash cam to make it available to Gardaí. We are particularly interested in any sightings of a white Volkswagen transporter van with three males on board at the time. So that's a white Volkswagen transporter van. If anybody has seen that in the area, to contact, again, Gardaí Letterkenny, 07491671100.
Theft of a Jeep now in the Letterkenny district.
Yes, this is a peculiar one. This is a Jeep that was stolen Sunday night between 10:50 p.m. and 11:20 p.m. The owner of the premises arrived at work the Monday morning and realised the Jeep had been removed from where it had been originally been parked, and then noticed that the passenger window had been smashed. So we have CCTV footage and it shows that Jeep had been stolen approximately 10:50 p.m. and actually returned to the vicinity from where it was stolen at 11:20 p.m. So it's probably taken, driven around and left back again. Maybe somebody realised what they'd done was wrong and left it back. But again, partial registration for the Jeep is 08DL11. That's 08DL11. And again, anybody travelled in the area of Bunnaghy on the Sunday night with a dash cam footage between 10:30 p.m. and 11:30 p.m. to make it available to Gardaí. And again, if anybody observed the Jeep in question out on the roads, or who has any relevant information, to make it available to Gardaí.
As you say, maybe they had a crisis of conscience, but there is also CCTV footage, so they might as well.
Yes, whereas, you know, if somebody feels they've made a mistake, to contact us and we will treat them with empathy.
All right. Criminal damage being investigated in Milford.
Yes, this is a criminal incident occurred at Lockfern Heights last Thursday night, Friday morning. So sometime between 5 p.m. on Thursday evening, the 25th. And 7:30 a.m. on Friday the 26th. So a lorry had been parked at the location overnight, and when the owner returned on Friday morning, the front windscreen had been smashed by a number of rocks. So again, that's a lock for an area on Thursday night the 25th. Anybody observed any suspicious activity or has any information, contact the Gardaí at Milford, 07491 53060.
No, not too many questions from last week. Not too complicated either. It's quite a simple one, I think. Can you ask if the end plates should be placed in the front and the back of your vehicle?
Yes, the end plate, suppose for those who may not be aware, end plates are for novice drivers, those who have recently passed their driving test. They're obliged to have an end plate on the front and back of the vehicle that you are driving. Not just the vehicle that you own, every vehicle that you drive. So if you're driving, you passed your test and you're lucky enough to have bought a car, you have to display your end plates. And if you're then driving your mum or dad's car, the same, the plates must be displayed for a period of 2 years.
Okay, that's clear as day. Right, Go Purple Day is taking place now at the start of next month, May 3rd.
I see you have the purple here.
Well, yes, exactly. We don't have to do much decoration.
Not here,
to
spot
this,
not here. Purple Day, Greg, Friday the 3rd of May. So the aim of the day is to raise awareness about domestic abuse and about the support services that are available. Many of us around Donegal will be wearing a purple ribbon on our uniform on Friday in support of local domestic abuse services and in support of victims of such abuse. And there are a number of events taking place throughout the county, if you would like me to go through them.
Yes, I think it's important.
Yeah, a drop-in event will take place in the Women's Centre in the Port Road in Letterkenny between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. This event is actually on Thursday the 2nd of May, and again it's marking Go Purple Day, a joint initiative between the Garda Síochána and the Donegal Women's Centre, again to raise awareness in relation to domestic abuse and the support services available. Everybody is welcome to attend, to show the support and to get a cup of tea and have a chat. And an open day and information event will take place at Lifeline Inish Owen in Carndonagh on Friday, next Friday, the 3rd of May, between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Gardaí and trade counsellors will be there on the day to raise awareness about domestic abuse and to offer support to those affected by it. Everybody, again, is welcome to call in for a cup of tea and wear something purple if you wish, but this is optional. And the Gardaí and Macrana Garda Station will be lit up with purple lighting for a 24-hour period to mark the event. Gardaí and Falcarra are having a coffee morning in Sean Barrack Falcarra on Friday, May the 3rd, between the hours of 10 a.m. and 12:30 p.m. Everybody is more than welcome to call in for a cup of chat, and a friendly chat.
So, and we always encourage people, don't we, Eunan, if they are in this situation, to come forward and seek help.
Yes,
Gardaí are there for people.
Yeah, we have a good relationship with all the services who offer support for domestic violence. We also have a robust system locally, nationally, in relation to how we treat victims of domestic violence in relation to callbacks and the services. But again, we don't catch everybody, Greg. I'm sure there's somebody maybe listening to your show or some who is a victim of domestic violence, be it a man, woman or child. I'm sure there's somebody listening to your show who knows a victim of domestic violence. And again, we are urging anybody who is suffering as a result of domestic violence to contact us on a 24/7 basis at Letterkenny. I'll just give out the numbers if I can.
Yeah, go ahead.
074-9167-100. Buncrana, 074-93-205-40. Ballyshannon, 07198-58530, and Milford 07491-53060. And again, always call 999 or 112 in a case of emergency.
Yeah, because of course the Gardaí too, there's been an awful lot of training and advances in this regard, and have special teams in place and that are speaking to groups that represent and work with victims of domestic violence. A full appraise of Donegal Gardaí and the advances that have been made. And we heard yesterday on this programme from the Donegal Domestic Violence Services that there's been a 30% increase in their contacts.
Yes.
So far this year. Often they deal with 80-odd individuals at any one time. That was up to 130 at one point. So there are lots of services there for people to reach out to, and hopefully they do. We are heading towards another bank holiday weekend, and we are heading towards now another warning, because we know traditionally, unfortunately, that the roads are far more dangerous for one reason or another over a bank holiday weekend. And it's a message that we keep putting out there, and hopefully it gets across to the people that need to hear it.
Yes, and I don't think the forecast is great this weekend. A lot of rain forecasted. So again, as you say, bank holiday weekends bring a high volume of traffic onto the roads. And with this increase in traffic and increase in people on the roads comes an increased risk of collisions, serious collisions and road deaths. So we're asking road users to please use the roads responsibly. Drivers are urged to slow down, wear the seatbelts and not drive while under influence. The three what we call life savers: speed, seatbelts and drink drug driving. Again, do not use hold your mobile phone when driving. And if you have been drinking, you may not be safe to drive the morning after. So don't risk it. It's not worth your while getting home in a taxi at 1 or 2 o'clock and then getting up at 7 or 8 to go to work and you under the influence. It's not worth it. Again, we'll be out on the roads over the weekend conducting high visibility checkpoints and speed checks. And again, we hope everybody has a safe and enjoyable bank holiday weekend.
Okay, and also happening this weekend is the 27th Northwest 10K. So, I mean, that's obviously, there's a lot of people out on the roads on
their
feet.
This is on the bank holiday Monday morning at 11 o'clock. A charity fundraising event takes place in the environs of the urban area of Letterkenny and attracts huge numbers each year. And in fairness to the organisers, to try and confine it to within the environs of the town to make a greater atmosphere for the runners and walkers. And there will be some, they have a robust safety plan and we're involved with them. We meet them twice a year. I've met them twice already before the event. I'm meeting them again this week. So there will be some traffic restrictions and road closures in the place. We try to keep the road closures to as limited as possible and kind of rolling road closure stop and go system. But just for the way you're to listeners, that there will be a road closure from the Pierce Road from Rosemount Lane over to the roundabout, Tesco roundabout. Again, a partial lane closure, low lane closure from the Canal Road over to the New Dunn's roundabout. And again, Port Road inbound will be closed for up to an hour from, say, maybe 10 to 11 till 12 o'clock. So traffic will be diverted over the Neil Tilbady Road or Ballyrane. And again, Main Street will be open but be subject to slow traffic during the race. We're asking people, if possible, to avoid the town in your vehicle at the time. And if you have to attend, do so at a slow speed and be aware of runners.
Yeah, and I think it's being held at a time over that weekend, if you were to pick, that might have the least traffic on it. And I'm sure Grania and the team will have the full list of
Yeah, it'll be all up on the Facebook page. The time has been changed, Greg, from 2 p.m. to 11 a.m. where it'll have a lesser impact on vehiculars.
All right, and the Gardaí and the stewards have a job to do, and it's easier if we listen.
Looking forward to it.
All right, listen, Ewan, and as always, thank you so very
much. Thank you, Greg. Thanks
really
for having me.
Appreciate
have
it.
Have a nice week.
Thank you so much. That's Garda Sergeant Ewan Walsh there. Well, that was Community Guard information. Lots of information in there, by the way. And you can listen back to it on our podcast, which will be live on our website at around about 12:30. But you can also watch it back on YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland, if there's anything in your area that you think you may be able to assist Gardaí on. All right, we'll be back with more in the 9 till noon show after these. Okay, you're welcome back to the show. 086 60 25,000, the WhatsApps and texts. Give us a call too if you want on 074 91 25,000. Still an hour and a half to go on this Tuesday's show, and a very interesting hour and a half it is going to be. I hope you'll agree when it's all done and dusted. Okay, if you want to watch the show, as always, YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland. That means you can watch us on your smart TV or your Fire Stick as well, or your Google thingamajig if you have that. Google TV, I think it's called. I know it's called that because I have it. If the hate speech bill is passed, then it will be like during the COVID lockdown. The government will party while the people are locked down. Imagine not being able to criticise or challenge any government policy, because that's what it will come down to. Well, I suppose there's going to be a certain element of distrust that if the government say no, it's not going to come down to that. Others are going to say, oh, yes, it is. We'll wait and see. We've already seen it tested in Scotland, for an example, and to some extent the hate speech bill there is even more stringent than it's being proposed here, and it really hasn't to this point, although some people thought it might. It really hasn't to this point stifled any free speech, but I'm not an advocate for it, nor am I opposed to it. Right, Michelle Smith is an independent MEP in Midlands North West, and is an independent MEP candidate, I should say, at this point. Michelle, good morning to you.
Yes, good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm good. Right, we were talking about immigration a little earlier on. You happened to be in the area and listening to the interview. Your reaction to, I think particularly you want to take issue with some comments from Councillor Lillian Barr.
Yeah, you know, she's representing the SDLP, and I was very taken aback with the comment about people protesting being linked to terrorism, you know, and it was causing divide in communities. And, you know, this is the type of terminology that we want to get away from. I was part of the protest in Ballinrobe, and we successfully overturned the government, but we fought for families that were actually seeking asylum. We had a community feel, we had a bit of music. There was not one ounce of trouble, and it's the same in Ballina and Mayo. It's Innis Shannon has seen people standing up here in Donegal, you know. So to link that, I'm utterly disgusted. I couldn't believe what I was hearing from an SDLP candidate, and I'm really angry, and I would like an apology from this lady, because yes, she's active in her community, etc., but you know, I'm a businesswoman at the end of the day, and we have no resources in different parts of rural Ireland, and that's why people are protesting. There's people that we love that are facing homelessness. 70% of homeless people now are renters in the Republic of Ireland, and the hospitals are overstretched. And as communities coming together, there's no hate, there's no terrorism, there's just love for where the people of this country live. So when you have an SCLP, you know, congratulations on her appointment, you know, but I'm sorry now, if that's a representative and what their view is, I think we would be standing now for a complete public apology. And Midlands Northwest, this has went out to Highland Radio. I'm on my way now to Valcarra to meet people, my uncle's up there, and I was listening away, you know, and I just shook with temper, because we're business people, we're
I get you, Michelle. I get you, but it's not really for me to argue her point, but she seemed to go to some lengths to say this isn't ordinary people, in inverted commas, that there is, and I wonder, yeah, would you recognise that there is an element who, and you could even question really who's funding them and who's backing them, there is an element in this country, yeah, that perhaps are agitators. And I've seen some of the people that maybe Lillian is referring to, I've seen them being chased away from local protests to say, no, we're doing it,
yeah,
this
and
way.
I have done
we're
that doing... myself.
So those people who are coming in to perhaps maybe hijack a local concern or to agitate, I'm not really comfortable, mm-hmm, with the word terrorist
which
in any way,
is,
shape or form,
is,
but well, how would you describe them?
No, not at all.
How would you describe those people?
I don't know if you've been following me from the start. I faced a huge online bullying campaign.
Yeah, I saw it. I did see
by
it.
By people who turned up. And my life was turned upside down. But I'm speaking for the majority. And I have to emphasize on the majority of people that are sitting around in their towns and communities. Their mums, their dads, they have kids. They're genuinely fighting because there's no resources. You know, there's no homes. The kids, they're waving them off out of the country for better prospects because they can't afford rents. You know, I would like, and this is on record, I want her to come on now and publicly apologise to the people and the majority of the people who are sitting in communities. Now, there is extremists, there's no doubt about it. You know, I was called left, right and centre because I fought for families in Ballinrobe that were genuinely seeking asylum. And out of 3,000 people in our community, we had 2,600 signatures in, 24, 36 hours. And to be labelled with that, I am utterly, utterly disgusted. And I am running
as Michelle, listen, this, I think language is really important, and I agree with you, right? But the same people... The people you referenced... the people that Lillian referenced as terrorists, okay? You've now described them, mm-hmm, as extremists. And an extremist is a person who holds extreme political or religious views, especially one who advocates illegal, violent or other extreme action. So really, you're calling them extremists. And she's calling them terrorists. Arguably...
She referred to the people doing protests as terrorists.
She quite specifically, though, and again, I'm at pains to argue a politician's point of view, because it's up to them to do that. But she did reference the same, from what I heard, and I'm not being argumentative with you,
but
Michelle.
These are one or two people turning up, you know.
I think that's who she was talking about, though. I thought that's who she was talking about,
well,
the same people you call extremists.
Like
right, okay. Anyway, listen, how is your candidacy being received, Michelle?
Apart from that, actually really, really well.
Mm.
Really, really well. Because I am coming at this with a level-headed approach to try and, you know, bring communities together and to come away from stuff like this being right-wing and, you know, terrorism or extremists, because it's very easy to be painted with the same brush.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're talking about huge communities coming together, I don't know, did you see Newtown Mount Kennedy down in County Wicklow? And, you know, they had thousands of people supporting them. And apart from that, like, I done a radio debate there last Friday against Niall Lanley here from Donegal and a Labour representative. And we brought in agriculture and different ideas and legislations. And, you know, I think the fishermen in this country are completely forgot about. The farmers, you know, we need huge input in resources. I attended Make Galway Autism Friendly on Sunday night to try and promote that with As I Am with Adam Harris. And yeah, it's going extremely well, really, really well. And I've had 44 million views so far on my social media for just speaking about things as a business approach and seeing further into the long term as to different effects that, like the EU Migration Pact, there's no getting away from it. I was on the Niall Boylan show yesterday because I uncovered that Michelle O'Neill is not communicating, has had no communication from Helen McEntee whatsoever regarding the influx of illegal immigrants coming across dealing, the border
Ms McEntee's dealing directly with her counterpart in London as opposed to Michelle O'Neill, but I take your point.
Yeah.
You're opposed to the EU Migration Pact. Are you opposed to all elements of it?
No. I think initially the 3,500 people to come in was relatively okay. You know, our resources are stretched, but with further investment, etc. You know, we do need doctors and nurses, but if you look at the GPs that qualified last year, 700 of them qualified and 400 of them have left the country. You know, and if you broaden that over to engineers and nurses and different qualifications, you know, we need to really look at why the young people of this country are leaving.
And that's not really a European matter, though, Michelle. It is, I know, but unfortunately, you'll not be able to make much difference in that regard sitting in Brussels.
No, but what we do as MEPs is look at legislation, and there has been zero communication from the MEPs regarding different things that have been happening at the EU level, and then they've been trickling down into the Dáil. And, you know, you can go over as preventative to make sure that stuff like this should not happen here. You know, the Dublin 3 regulation is there. It wasn't implemented. And this is going back to Simon Harris's time. There's an article on Oireachtas.ie where he was questioned in the Dáil about the amount of take-back requests and why they're not being done. And that was early January 23 when he was the Minister of Justice. And, you know, they're still not doing their job. At the end of the day, there's no leadership. I will be going over as to be a whole new style of politics to communicate with people. And as a preventative measure, like at the end of the day, we all work here, we pay taxes here, and we want to see our country flourish. If you look at the...
There's a general acceptance, even, you know, be it in the United States or wherever, that your economy can only flourish with migrants.
And look, a lot of Irish people have left
immigrants
as well.
Sorry, I always get immigrants and migrants mixed up. Immigrants, you know what I'm saying.
There's no problem with healthy immigration and migration because people are going to seek jobs. Some people want to travel. That's perfectly okay. But we've seen a huge influx in young people here that don't want to travel either, you know. But when you look at things that are happening in European Parliament, the MEPs, even if you take the Migration Pact, 11 MEPs turned up. Luke Ming Flanagan abstained. Sinn Féin councillor Chris McManus, he also abstained from some of the relevant things to do with resettling, etc. So, you know, Ireland MEPs have had one of the lowest attendance rates across all the other member states. We're coming in at 19th. So you wouldn't turn up to your job there, Greg, and, you know, willy-nilly get paid and not do the job. You know, you have to turn up. You have to be a voice. And this is going back for a long time. Like the Nature Restoration Fund, that was voted against. And if you look at forestation here and the funding, we're not meeting the goals there. There were 6,000 trees planted in 2022, and that's dropped now to 1,998.
I think Chris McManus didn't abstain. He voted against the laws, if I'm not mistaken.
There's
I'll have to double check that, but anyway, I get you. All right. Yeah, well, listen,
on the
Michelle, I'm sure we'll be. Well, I'm, yeah. I know for a fact if you're open to it, we'll be speaking again in the run up to the European elections. But for now, thanks for calling in and safe journey. That's Michelle Smith there, who's an independent MEP candidate in Midlands North West. A caller says, I agree with Michelle Smith. Irish people are entitled to protest and not be called terrorists, making out the people who protest are not educated and didn't know what they're doing. What other country is an open border to stop people coming in? I've tried to clarify what Lillian Barr said she was saying, but she's a politician and she's well capable of defending herself in that regard. It's not my job to do that. Right, let's go to James now. Hi, James.
Hello, how are you doing there?
I'm doing good, James. You are of the view that now is an even more opportune time to talk about a united Ireland. Why so?
Yeah, well, we had the whole Brexit thing, which was brought the concept of a united Ireland sort of to the fore. And there's been a lot of talk about the United Ireland from the one source, which would be Sinn Féin. And I think it's time that the government moved or spoke more about this here. I mean, like, they won't even draw up a white paper or anything as such in regards to a united Ireland. So this is an opportune time because every house in the country is talking about immigration and stuff like that there. So, I mean, if there was a referendum today or next week, I can guarantee you that 98% of the people in the 26 counties would vote for a united Ireland.
If and you're saying because of immigration that that might influence people, but if we can't control immigration effectively at the Dublin border, so to speak, what makes you think we could do so at Belfast as part of a united Ireland? I mean, the track record isn't good.
I know what you're saying, but the extent of illegal immigration into Dublin border or Cork or wherever would be nothing in comparison to what would come into Belfast, because there's a free run just across there to Liverpool or Ken Ryan or any of them ports. As some of the British ministers have been stating, I think it's Douglas Hogg, or I think it might be his name, was stating there that they should actually encourage illegal immigrants to cross over to the six counties. So when you have that sort of a mindset on the, within British government.
Well, they're trying to stick it to Europe, and we are part of Europe. Obviously, though, united Ireland has to happen through consent, North and South. And I just wonder, given the fact that there was so much debate and discussion about a border on the Irish Sea, I can't imagine unionists voting for or accepting a united Ireland that had an incredibly hard controlled border between Britain and Ireland. I'd imagine people would have to be able to move freely as part of any agreement. People would hold out for that. Do you get where I'm coming from? When we started getting down to the nitty-gritty, the black and white, crossing the T's, dotting the I's.
Yeah, I know what you're saying there. But, like, I mean, if we're going to talk about how democracy works or whatever, so if you're going to have, we were talking about the 50 plus one or whatever, if it comes to that, and I can't see why. You know, unionists with a small U, as the man says, are coming around to the fact that it's in their interest to be within the one country setup where you control your own borders and have all the rest of your controls. Like, the British government at the moment are showing complete disrespect to any unionist within the six counties, because they're just saying, like, and even Richie Sunak is saying, you know, in regards to immigration, that they're not going to let any or accept any back.
James, and I'm not being argumentative, it's just an interesting conversation. Again, you used a phrase like, we could control our own borders, right? Well, the truth is, many people's opinion is that by us signing up to the EU Migration Pact, we actually don't control our own borders, that we give over that control to the EU, because there's certain elements of it, once we sign up, we're told, that we can't sort of back out of again. So again, I think for your plan to work, there has to be a couple of other very serious, drastic policy changes and decoupling from Europe before your utopia 32-county Ireland exists, as you suggest, if you get where I'm coming from.
Yes, but, you know, if you want to go back to sort of the Lisbon Treaty scenario, which was where the first round was, it was voted against, and then the government didn't like it and got the people by promising, oh, we're going to get more jobs, we're going to get money, and if we don't vote for the Lisbon Treaty, we're going to get no grants, they're going to be a big cut off and all that sort of scare story stuff. We've seen it then in referendums since. You know, that gave away power, lots of power, to exceeded power to the European Union, and left us sort of in limbo where we're sort of tagging along to Europe in regards having our own laws or being able to operate our own laws. And, like, I think people are sort of waking up to that fact now, as we have seen in votes in recent referendums there. And it's still not too late to assert our own sort of independence in regards what would be affecting our country in a detrimental way, you know. So politicians in regards to government, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, whatever, are not carrying out their duty as they should, mm-hmm. in looking after Ireland's interests.
Okay.
And you know, so there's loads of questions there, yeah, and
James,
stuff,
listen,
but
and,
I just
and
want
you,
to make this.
No, you did. You made your points well. You've thrown out a few interesting points, but I'm sure some will agree, some will disagree. But thank you so much for sharing them with us, James. Have a lovely day. So in relation to the European Parliament, they voted to adopt the Migration and Asylum Pact, the EU Migration Pact is called generally. There's 10 laws which have been negotiated for years. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael MEPs voted in favour of all the 10 texts. Sinn Féin MEP Chris McManus, Green MEP Grace O'Sullivan, and the group of independents voted in favour of just a few of the package. Now, I'm not quite sure if those that voted for just a few of the packages abstained on the other votes or voted against. I can't find that information, to be completely honest with you. But Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil voted in favour of all 10 texts. Sinn Féin's Chris McManus and Green's MEP Grace O'Sullivan and independents voted in favour of just a few of the packages. But as I say, I'm not quite sure, and I'll try and find out, but it's hard to get this information. I'm not quite sure then if they abstained on the other votes or voted against, but it's important information and I'll try and get that to you. Is that guy for real? He really needs to stop in the fairy tale image of United Ireland. The Irish government couldn't afford to take on NI. I wouldn't want a United Ireland, as it would bring untold problems and wouldn't enhance my life. I wouldn't stop people, immigrants coming in. It wouldn't stop people coming in. If the UK can't stop them coming in, we have no chance. If NI became part of Ireland, the NHS would go, cheap cars would go, many of the benefits would disappear to the people of Northern Ireland, and they don't want that. And it is quite interesting, and I've kind of been calling on this for ages, is that, you know, obviously there are political reasons, religious reasons, whatever reasons, unionism reasons, Republican reasons, but I think now as we edge potentially closer to such a vote, the conversation is widening out to the wider impact the United Ireland would have on people. Fair play to Rishi Sunak. Fair play to him laughing at us and telling us that we can keep the illegal immigrants. Serves us right. We can't even control the border between the north and the south of Ireland. The whole idea is that we don't really control it, isn't it? I think that's what's found us in this situation. People don't want a heavily policed border. Forget about United Ireland for a while and get the country back on its feet, says a listener. Do they honestly think the people of Northern Ireland want to live like us? Health system is a disaster. Back in its feet. 8 billion surplus this year. That's after we put all the money away in the little rainy day funds and what have you, I believe. Michelle Smith talks so much sense. I follow her on social media. She's a breath of fresh air and a hard worker. Has my vote. And although the professional immigrants here have abandoned the health service in their own countries, which means their home countries are further deprived, our government want immigrants to for cheap labour. It's immoral. I have raised this issue because this was a concern I had. And I have raised this issue before about us taking doctors and nurses from other countries, and does that leave a gap in the countries from which we're taking them? And I was reliably informed that they have an incredible education system, an abundance of people working in these areas. And as I say, this is what I was told, that it's not actually the case that we are depriving countries of a proper healthcare system by taking their healthcare professionals. I'm delighted to hear Michelle speaking up. She is a breath of fresh air, says a listener. Now, just before the news at 11, I want to let you know that it is Tuesday, which means Ours to Protect is broadcast on John's show. And coming up on Ours to Protect this week is the All-Ireland Pollinator Plan. Donna Marie Doherty speaks to Julie Corrie, the Biodiversity Officer with Donegal County Council. So tune in around 12:30pm today on Around the Northwest to learn more about how to ID bees and simple activities you can do from your very own garden. There's just no doubt bees are incredibly important. Okay, that's Ours to Protect with Donna Marie from 12:30.